Okay, so thank you everybody for coming. I wanted to do it on the computer tonight. This is the last class before Pesach, and we'll send out a message after Yom Tov and Mirtzah Hashem, letting people know when we're going to start the class up again in a couple of weeks. Thank you, Reb Ezra, for all the technical support for arranging this, the computer meeting, and for the emails. Thank you very much for everything. And I saw my father clicked in, so I have the great honor of my father joining the share this tonight. I don't know if you're still on, but I saw you come on before, so that's a big schuss. And tonight we're going to speak about the Haggadah and some various pshatim in the Haggadah. So as I was preparing this share, it struck me how more than ever the message of the Haggadah is true as much now as it always was. And in our current situation as well, the message speaks directly to us in even in our current times. So it's an amazing thing that, as usual, the Torah is timeless, and the message of the Torah and of our sages is constantly relevant in every situation. So let's begin. We're not going to have time to go through the entire Haggadah, but at least the first few piskas, as they're called, the first few paragraphs of the Haggadah really set the tone for the theme of the entire Haggadah. I found that if you use a specific Haggadah, so someone might like the Malbim Haggadah, someone might like another Haggadah, there are a lot of English version Haggadahs out there that are very beautifully written. So I always like the Maisa Nisim, which was written by Rav Yaakov Milisa, Rav Yaakov from the city of Lisa, about in the 1700s, and I always found this to be very inspiring. And like I said before, the message is as relevant today as ever. So the Haggadah starts off with seemingly a very disjointed paragraph. Holach ma'anya. So the famous introduction to the Seder, this is the bread of affliction, the yacholu avasana ba'ara de Mitzrayim. This is the bread of affliction, we're referring to the matzah, that our forefathers ate in the land of Egypt. Kol dichben yesev yechol, anybody who's hungry should come and eat. Kol ditzrech yesev yivsach, anybody who needs should join with us in this, in the Pesach, in the Karban Pesach. And then we conclude, hashtahocha, now we're here, but lashana haba ba'arad di Yisrael, but in the future, next year, we hope to be in Eretz Yisrael. And again, we say, hashtah avdi, lashana haba b'nei chayrin. Right now, we're slaves, but next year, in the future, we hope to be free. So it's a fascinating piska, it's a fascinating paragraph, and it seems a bit disjointed. This is the bread of affliction. Anybody who's hungry should come and eat. Today we're here, but next year we hope to be in Yerushalayim. What's the connection? So it would seem to be an invitation of sorts that we're inviting people to come join our Seder. But the commentaries have a lot of trouble with that. Number one, why are we announcing it here inside the house after we already made Kiddush? So, of course, it's too late to invite people. This year, right, nobody's doing much inviting at all. The Rambam points out something very interesting. Of all the Haggadah, this is written in Aramaic. And the Rambam explains because this was not instituted, this paragraph was not added to the Haggadah until the Jewish people already were in Babel, were already in Babylonia, where the common language was Aramaic. So most of the Haggadah are really taken from the Mishnayos in Tractate Pesachim. If you look at the 10th parak of Pesachim, most of the paragraphs in the Haggadah are from that parak, that chapter of the Masechtas Pesachim. But this paragraph here is something that was instituted after we already were in Babel. So these are the questions that the Mefarshim ask. So the Maisa Nisim, Rav Yaakov from Lisa, so he says a fascinating thing, and he says that this is really setting the tone for the entire Seder, for the Seder night. He says this is not an announcement. We're not inviting people to come because it's too late. We're already in the house. We can't invite anyway. What we're coming to do is we're coming to really ask ourselves a question, and we're trying to put ourselves into the frame of mind of a Seder. So he gives a mashal, he gives a paragraph, he gives a parable. Imagine if you have someone who is in jail for whatever reason, and eventually he's let free. So that's a great simcha, that's a tremendous reason to rejoice. So we would understand if every year the person would celebrate the anniversary of his freedom from jail, because he was in jail and he was free. As a matter of fact, it's one of the things that we bring a carbon toda for. In this week's parsha, you bring a carbon toda for having been freed from a jail. So what I would understand. But imagine if for some other reason the person finds himself back in jail. Whether it was just or unjust, he finds himself back in jail. Would anybody in his right mind celebrate in the jail cell the day that he left jail the first time? He's back in jail. Why would he still celebrate the original exodus, the original freedom from the first time around? So the Maisa Nisim says that that's exactly what we're really asking ourselves now. Holach ma'anya, this is the bread of affliction. What we're really doing is we're saying, what's going on? We're back in Golus. We're back in exile. We're eating the same bread of affliction now that we've eaten back then. Why are we celebrating? On that, we answer our own question. Holach ma'anya, this is the bread of affliction. What are we doing celebrating? On that, we answer, Kol dich ben yesi v'yechob. Nevertheless, we invite. Nevertheless, we celebrate. We're not inviting now. We're declaring that although we're back in exile, although we're back in Golus, and seemingly there's no more reason to celebrate the original Exodus, nevertheless we celebrate. Nevertheless, we invite and we call people and we have a Seder every year. And we discuss the original Yetzias Mitzrayim, the original Exodus every year. Why? Because Hashtahacha, because now we're here, and Lashana Haba Ba'arad Yisrael, in the future we hope to be back in Eretz Yisrael. Now we're still servants, it's true, we're slaves, but in the future, we're enslaved, we're in Golus, we're in exile, but in the future, we hope to be free again. So the Maisa Nisim says this is the entire theme of the Haggadah. Why is it that we're able to celebrate Yetzias Mitzrayim now, if we're back in Golus? The reason is because when Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim the first time, inherent in the Yetziah of Mitzrayim the first time, when Hashem took us out the first time, it came along with a promise that Hashem will save us and deliver us from all future Golosin, from all future exiles. And the Maisa Nisim goes through the Haggadah to show why is that. What does it mean that Hashem promised that He will take us out of all future exile? Where is that promise? So there's a famous question that the Ramban, at the end of Parshas Bo, asks the question. It's a famous question. If it was time for us to leave Mitzrayim, why was it necessary for Hashem to perform all of these miracles? Why couldn't Hashem simply plant it into the mind of Paro that it's time to let us go? We asked Paro, let us go. If it's time to go, why can't Hashem just make Paro put the idea into Paro's mind? Okay, I'll let you go. You worked for us for the past 210 years. It was great. And I'll let you go. You deserve your freedom. Why was it necessary to have all of these miracles? And why was it necessary to have all the 10 plagues and the Kriyas Yamsuf? Why was all of this necessary? So the Ramban, in his famous essay at the end of Parshas Bo, tells us, because this was the introduction, we spoke about this many times, that was Hashem's introduction to us. At that time, there were many ideologies out there, various levels. Some people believed in Hashem, some people didn't. Some people believed that Hashem was abstract, wasn't involved in the world. The various miracles, and the psukim also play that out, each makkah, each plague, was designed to teach us a certain thing and to dispel one of these false ideologies. And at the end of the day, after the 10 plagues, now we know Hashem exists, now we know Hashem intervenes, now we know Hashem rewards and punishes, and everything that we need to know about Hashem, Hashem introduced Himself to us at that time. Why doesn't Hashem perform open miracles for us today? Because that wasn't the point. The point was to introduce Himself to us, and by us seeing those open miracles, we're supposed to be inspired by that, internalize those lessons, and we're supposed to see Hashem in our everyday life, day to day. That's the famous Ramban. It's a beautiful idea, and that itself is something to think about and something to keep in mind and to internalize. The Maisa Nisim, the Rabbi Yaakov Milisa, the one who wrote the commentary on the Haggadah that I'm working with, the Maisa Nisim says another beautiful idea. The Maisa Nisim says, when Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim with an outstretched arm, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And he showed the whole world that he was taking us as his nation. That kaviyochel, that, so to speak, forever bound Hashem to the Jewish people. Even if eventually we would mess up and we would sin, we would be choite, and we'd have to go to Golus. But what are the nations going to say? What happened to Hashem? Where's Hashem's power? What happened? So Hashem, so to speak, committed himself by taking us out of Mitzrayim in such an open fashion, with such fanfare. Hashem committed himself in order not that there shouldn't be a Chilul Hashem, that Hashem's name shouldn't be profaned among the nations. Hashem committed himself to always take us out as a future, in every future exile and in a future redemption. And we see that clearly time after time. When we committed the sin of the Egel, so Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Jewish people deserve to be destroyed. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's, so to speak, quote-unquote, his winning argument? His winning argument was, what are the nations going to say? Hashem put himself in that position that we can always say, what are the nations going to say? When we sent out the spies, Hashem said that we're not going to make it into Eretz Israel. What are the nations going to say? So Hashem knew that in the very beginning. When Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim with an outstretched hand, with the fanfare, with the miracles, part of it was to teach us about Hashem and that we should internalize the miracles and learn all the things we need to know about Hashem in order to serve him. But another big part of it was that Hashem eternally bound himself to us. And that is what we're declaring at the very beginning of the Seder. This is the bread of affliction. What are we doing celebrating if we're back in exile? The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed again. So the answer is, although it's true that we were back in exile, nevertheless we celebrate and we invite and we have a Yom Tov of Pesach because the original Yetzias Mitzrayim is a promise. The way it was done is a promise that Hashem will forever take us out of all future Golosin. So this year especially, we're all at home. We can't invite, we can't go to family, we can't have our kids come for the Seder, but we're sort of locked up in our house. But the Seder speaks to us today more than ever that whatever crisis we find ourselves in and whatever bondage or exile we find ourselves in, there's a promise that Hashem will always be there for us and Hashem will take us out again. Otherwise, why did Hashem take us out in such an open way? He put himself out on the line. That's the tone for the entire Seder. It's a very powerful idea that the Yetzias Mitzrayim is not a one-time thing. It's something that we celebrate forever because it's something that's constant and it's something that's current. Hashem is promising to always take us out. The Maaseh Nisim is going to come back to this idea in different forms in the Haggadah. Let's go on to the next part. We start with the Manishtan. So the child at the table asks the question, or if we're just at home with our immediate family, our wife, or if we're home alone, whoever it is, we ask ourselves these questions. So we know the four questions. So the question is, why is this night different? And we have we touched on four differences of the night. Why do we eat matzah and not chametz? Why do we eat specifically maror? Why do we dip twice? And why do we recline? So tonight at the Seder, we are fulfilling the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we're discussing the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a positive commandment. He got it to Labincha. That every year we have to review and elaborate on the story of Mitzrayim. Why are we talking about the various mitzvahs that we do? Why are we talking about the matzah and the maror? Why are we talking about the dipping and the reclining? Why are we talking about these things? These are the mitzvahs we have to do tonight, but this has nothing to do with the story. So the Maaseh Nisim explains, because the pasuk says, ba'avur zeh. The reason why we talk about these things tonight is because that was the reason why Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. The reason why Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim was to fulfill the mitzvahs. So although we don't profess to know the reasons for the mitzvahs, but nevertheless, we discuss the mitzvahs. That's the reason why we went out of Mitzrayim in the first place. Ba'avur zeh. For this reason, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Why did Hashem take us out of Mitzrayim? Because it was because it wasn't moral that we should be enslaved in Egypt. That wasn't the reason. The reason was Hashem took us out to acquire us as His nation, and we became Klal Yisrael. We became Hashem's nation in order to fulfill these mitzvahs. And the Maase Nisim points out that we're discussing the whole spectrum of mitzvahs. Matzah is Doraisa. Maror in the times of the Beis HaMikdash is Doraisa. Nowadays it's rabbinic. The dipping is just a minhag, it's just a custom. The reclining is a rabbinic obligation. So we're discussing the full spectrum of all the things that we practice. Mitzvahs from the Torah, mitzvahs from the rabbis, customs, and things that are sometimes midoraisa from the Torah, sometimes they're only rabbinic. So we have customs, mitzvahs, doraisa, and the rabbanon. We discussed the four mitzvahs. The pasuk says, ba'avor zeh. For this reason, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. And the simple explanation is for the ability to perform mitzvahs, Hashem gave us the Torah. But there's a fascinating Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi lived also in the 1700s, and he was the Rav of Brisk, the first of the Soloveitchik family, the Beis HaLevi, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik. So he points out something very interesting. Ba'avur zeh, for this reason, in order that we should fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. So it's interesting, because when we left Mitzrayim, we didn't have time for the dough to rise. Or while we were slaves in Egypt, they didn't let us have time for the dough to rise. So we eat matzah. It reminds us of the servitude, it reminds us of the freedom. But we see in the Torah that Avram Avinu, he was making ugos, he was making round cakes. Rashi says it was Pesach time. When Yitzchak was going to give the blessing to Yaakov or Esav, so it says that Rivka took two sheep. Why? Because it was Pesach. One for the Korban Pesach and one for the Korban Chagiga. She was entitled to take two sheep. So it's fascinating. Why were they celebrating Pesach before there even was a Mitzrayim and before there was certainly a Yetziya Mitzrayim and nobody's dough didn't have chance to rise yet? So why are they eating matzah? So the Beis HaLevi has a fascinating concept that all the mitzvahs in the Torah in various forms were created and were in place before the world was created, right? The Torah was there 2,000 years before the Torah. Hashem first made the Torah and then he created the world. The Torah is a blueprint for the world. So he has something that's sort of like a fender bender. It's something that we have to put our mind around. But he says that the mitzvahs really were there before. They were fulfilling the mitzvah of matzah because there's a mitzvah to eat matzah at this time of year. That's why Avram Avinu was eating matzah. It's true. They themselves might not have even known the reason. They don't know that hundreds of years from now, the Jewish people are going to leave Mitzrayim and their dough is not going to have a chance to rise. They might not even have known the reason, but they didn't need to know the reason. They were able to identify, the mitzvah was able to resonate with them simply because of the fact that Hashem commanded this mitzvah. And before the Torah was given, they already had some kind of intuition, some sort of prophetic intuition of what the mitzvahs were, and they were able to fulfill the mitzvah even before it historically played itself out. So ba'avur zeh, for this reason, could be understood on a deeper level. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and we had the whole story of the dough not rising in order that we should have some kind of understanding in what this mitzvah represents for us. But Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim in order to have this mitzvah, because the mitzvah was destined to be given in some form or another. Like, he goes ahead and says, we have to honor our parents. It's not a response. Because we have parents, we have to honor our parents. The world, the Torah is a blueprint for the world. The reason why we have parents, why aren't we hatched from eggs, right? The reason why we have parents is because Hashem wants us to have the mitzvah to honor our parents. We need that for ourselves. Hashem gives us all the tools that we need. So discussing the mitzvahs at the night of the Seder is part and parcel of discussing the Exodus, the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, because that's the whole reason why we left Mitzrayim, in order to fulfill the mitzvah, the entire spectrum of mitzvahs. And not only is the mitzvah a response to what happened, but it goes a lot deeper than that. The mitzvah would have been there regardless. The mitzvah was there before the historical event, and we were leaving Mitzrayim in order that these mitzvahs should be able to be given and to be able to resonate with us. The next part of the Haggadah is sort of answering these questions in a general way. Avadim hayinu leparo b'mitzrayim. So this is sort of like a synopsis of the entire Seder. We were servants to Paro in Mitzrayim, and Hashem took us out with the strong hand and an outstretched arm. And if Hashem would not have taken us out, then we would, with this strong hand, then we and our descendants, our children and our grandchildren, would still be meshubed, would still be enslaved to Paro in Mitzrayim. So how does this answer the question, why do we perform these mitzvos? The Maaseh Nisim explains that this is a general answer. We're going to talk about the Seder. We're going to talk about how we were freed, why we owe Hashem, and why we need to serve Hashem. That's true. But the bottom line is that we don't perform the mitzvahs because we understand them necessarily. We perform the mitzvahs because, just like when we were slaves to Paro, we didn't have a choice. When Paro asks us, we have to fulfill the command. So now that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, it was almost like it was a training ground to be proper Oivdei Hashem, to be able to serve Hashem. So the reason why we perform the mitzvahs is not because we understand and because we think it makes sense. The reason why we perform the mitzvahs is because we're servants to Hashem, and that's why we were created, and that's why we were taken out of Mitzrayim. That's the answer. That's the bottom line answer to the child or to whoever's asking, to even if we're asking ourselves. The answer is because Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and just like we were servants to a king, now we're servants to the King of Kings. Why do we emphasize that Hashem took us out with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm? Like we said before, because that's why we're celebrating. It's not a historical event. It's not a one-time event. The reason why we're celebrating Yetzias Mitzrayim year after year is in order to show how fundamental it is that inherent in the Yetzia, when Hashem took us out the first time, it came along with a promise. It came along with the commitment that Hashem will take us out from all future exiles. And if Hashem would have just put it into Paro's mind to let us free, what would happen, says the Maaseh Nisim, if while we were in the desert, in the very beginning, we kept on saying, we want to go back to Mitzrayim, we want to go back to Mitzrayim. We were scared to go out on our own. If Hashem would not have taken us out with the outstretched arm, with the miracles, then Hashem could have said, so go back to Mitzrayim. There wouldn't have been any obligation on Hashem's part. But it's very reassuring to know that it's a two-way street, that we're both bound. It's not as if we're slaves to Hashem and that's the way it is. Hashem bound himself to us also. It's mutual. Hashem bound himself to us and we bound ourselves to him. Hashem has to take us out of all the future gullison, because otherwise what are the nations going to say? That's the whole reason why Hashem created the world, was to bring the honor of Hashem into the world, and it would undermine everything that Hashem did if Hashem would let us go. Hashem eternally bound himself to us, and that's why we celebrate. That's the idea of the Zroya Netuya. That's the idea of Hashem taking us out with an outstretched hand. So with this idea, we go on to say, even if we're Kulano Chachamim, even if we're all wise, we're all men of understanding, we're all Zakenim, we've gone through this many times, we're older, we're more mature already, we might know the entire Torah, nevertheless, it's a mitzvah l'safer b'yetzias Mitzrayim. We have a yearly mitzvah, and call a marbe l'safer b'yetzias Mitzrayim, harezim meshubach. Anybody who increases, the more we talk about it, the longer we spend elaborating on the story and driving home the story, the more praiseworthy it is. What's the idea behind that? There are many ideas, but the Maaseh Nisim says a beautiful concept. Now that we understand that the purpose of all the miracles was to eternally bind himself to us, that Hashem committed himself to us for all future generations, now we can look at the various miracles in a new light. We can try to understand, why was it necessary to do this miracle? Like the Ramban says, what did we learn from this miracle? What did we learn from that miracle? And year after year, the more we delve into it, the more understanding we can get, and the more we can appreciate why Hashem did every single thing to commit himself to the future. The Maaseh Nisim says a beautiful explanation in the Pasuk. We say over and over again, we say it in the Shabbos Pesukei de Zimra, and we say it at the Seder, Ki la'olam chasto, His chesed endures forever. So the simple translation is that Hashem has an endless amount of kindness, and he's constantly performing acts of kindness. It never gets used up. But in this light, ki le'olam chasdo, that Hashem's chesed endures forever, what that really could mean is that every chesed, every act of kindness that Hashem does, and most of that kapitel is, a lot of that kapitel is talking about the Yetziah of Mitzrayim, his chesed is forever, meaning that the chesed he did back then was meant to last forever because he committed himself with this idea to take us out of all future galuses. So the Maaseh Nisim says that we can look into these miracles, and everything that the world learned from these miracles was eternally binding Hashem to us in all future generations. His kindness lasts forever. It doesn't just mean that he forever performs acts of kindness. Each act of kindness that he does perform lasts forever. The effects are forever. Because every time Hashem does something, it binds him, it commits him even more. The more you invest, the more invested you are. So Hashem invests himself into the Jewish people forever, forever and ever. The next paragraph, Amar Rabbi Lazar, so Rabbi Lazar says, Harei ani keben shivim shana, it's as if I'm 70 years old, and I never knew the source to discuss Yetzias Mitzrayim every single day, the day and the evening and the morning, until Ben Zoma came along, and he showed us from the Pasuk that there's a source to say Yetzias Mitzrayim every day. So when we say the Shema, the first two paragraphs of the Shema are the essence of the Shema. The third paragraph of the Shema is really talking about the tzitzis. It's really nothing to do with the rest of the theme of the Shema. The reason why we say it is for the last line of that paragraph. Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeisi Eschem, who took you out of the land of Mitzrayim. And we say the Shema, we say that paragraph twice a day. We say it in the evening, and we say it in the morning. The Chachamim, the sages, disagree. They say we only have to say that last paragraph in the morning because we actually left Yetzias Mitzrayim in the morning. We didn't leave in the evening. The evening we had a Seder. We didn't leave Mitzrayim. We didn't leave Egypt until the next morning. But Ben Zoma says that we have to say the Shema. We have to say the Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have to mention the Exodus from Egypt even at night because the Geula, the redemption, actually started at night. The question is that there are two distinct mitzvos. There are two distinct things going on here. Every day of the year, tonight, tomorrow, every single day of the year, we have a mitzvah to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim in the evening and in the morning. That's the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's a mitzvah of mentioning the Yetziah. Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Yeretz Mitzrayim. It's a mention. It's a reference. We refer back to it. We mention it. At the Seder, there's a mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim to relate and to elaborate on the entire story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's two distinct different mitzvahs. Every day of the year, there's a mitzvah twice a day, and on the Seder night, there's a mitzvah to elaborate on the story. Why did the Baal Haggadah? Why did the one who compiled the Haggadah, by the way, we're not sure who's the one who actually compiled the Haggadah that we have. It's the Rambam brings it. It's, like I said before, it's basically like a medley. It's a digest of various Mishnayos from Maseches Pesachim. This Omer Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah actually comes from Maseches Brachos. Those that are learning Daf Yomi, we just had that fairly recently. We talked about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So we're not sure who compiled the Haggadah. Why did Chazal, who put together this format of the Haggadah, why was it necessary to mention the daily mitzvah of talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim when we're performing a different mitzvah of elaborating on the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim? The Maaseh Nisim, he gives us a parable. He says the following. Imagine if you would have an orphan. Somebody brings an orphan into his home, raises the orphan, pays for the orphan's education, houses the orphan, offers a home, opens the home to the orphan, feeds them, supports them, room and board, loves them, gives them the emotional support that they need, and raises them. And now this orphan lost his parents, and now he had a family to call his own. He grew up, and he has a family to call his own forever and ever. He appreciates that forever and ever. It's an endless amount of chesed. Imagine if this orphan would always be talking about, you remember you got me that toy, you remember you got me that suit, thank you so much, right? Thanking, always thanking for a specific thing that his foster parents, that the family did for him. So says the Maaseh Nisim, that would almost be embarrassing. It would almost be embarrassing. Why are you thanking me for a specific thing if I've constantly been investing in you and giving you everything that I have, giving you everything that you have? Why are you pointing out one thing and thanking me for one specific thing? It's like the Gemara says, that the very fact that we can praise Hashem is itself a schus, it's a merit. Because if you go to a king who has $1 billion and you praise him that he has $1 million, your praise is falling very short. It's not a praise, it's really like a disgrace. So we only have the right to say the adjectives that we say in Shmona Esrei, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, VeHanoira. We can say these words, Hashem is the Almighty, He's great, He's powerful, He's awesome. We're only able to say these things because Moshe Rabbeinu, in his Nevuah, in his prophecy, he taught us that we're allowed to say these words of praise. For some reason, these words somehow encompass everything and we're not falling short. These are the words that we're permitted to say. But less is more. The more you say, the more you're adding, then there's no end. Because these are the words that encompass the praise of Hashem from Moshe Rabbeinu. So when we go ahead and we celebrate the Seder night, that's understandable. That's reasonable. That's the anniversary of the Yetziah. But the fact that we talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim every single day, how are we allowed to do that? Isn't that singling out one act of kindness? What about all the other acts of kindness? What about the fact that Hashem is constantly showering us with good? Our health, the fact that we have parnasa, and we should all be zoicha to continue having these wonderful gifts of our health and our parnasa, and the ability to go out and to accomplish and to interact. We should continue to have these wonderful gifts. Why can we thank Hashem just every day for taking us out of Egypt? I understand that we celebrate the anniversary of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That makes sense. But how can we harp? How can we single out this Hatovah? So the reason why the Baal Haggadah brings in the mitzvah of talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim every single day, although it's a different mitzvah entirely, but it underscores how profound, how fundamental Yetzias Mitzrayim is. And again, the Maaseh Nisim goes with his understanding, because the Yetzias Mitzrayim, besides becoming Hashem's nation, it eternally bound Hashem to us also. Hashem invested in us and committed himself to us through the open miracles, putting himself out on the line, so to speak, that he's always there for us. Otherwise, it would be a chil Hashem. Hashem doesn't want it to be a chil Hashem. So the fact that Hashem put himself out on the line is a declaration, is a commitment on Hashem's part that he's always there for us. Why does the Baal Haggadah bring in the fact that every day we mention Mitzrayim, if it's a different mitzvah? Because it highlights the fact how fundamental Yetzias Mitzrayim is. If it would just be an isolated thing, Hashem took us out of this galus, took us out of that galus, then why mention it every single day? But why don't we mention something new every single day? Why don't we thank Hashem? The answer is because it's so fundamental. This is the root, the foundation of everything. Going back to the parable, if the orphan would call up his parents and say, thank you for everything, thank you for taking me into your home, that would encompass everything. When we thank Hashem every single day, thank you for taking us out of Mitzrayim, we reference it and we remember it, that's because it's so fundamental. This is the theme that he goes with throughout the whole Haggadah, that we're emphasizing the fact that Yetzias Mitzrayim is so fundamental. We go on, and the Gemara Mesachim discusses this, that we talk about in the Haggadah how they were up all night discussing Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then we go on in the Haggadah and we discuss, skipping a little bit, that the four sons, Mitchila Oivdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. We mentioned the fact that originally our ancestors were idol worshippers. Terach, the father of Avram Avinu, was an idol worshipper. So, and look how far we've gone. Now we receive the Torah and we serve Hashem. The Gemara tells us in Psachim that we're maschil b'gnus. We start off how low we were, Gnus literally means in a derogatory fashion. We sort of like expose the skeleton, so to speak, in our closet. We talk about how we were originally, our ancestors were Oivdei Avodah Zarah. And then we go on to say that now Hashem took us close and He gave us the Torah and we're serving Hashem. Why is it necessary to start off with Gnus, to start off bad-mouthing, starting off derogatory? Why is it necessary to talk about the fact that our ancestors worshipped idols, that Terach was an Oivdei Avodah Zarah? So there could be many reasons why it's important, why we do that. We want to show the contrast. We want to show how much we appreciate, how far we've come, how much Hashem did for us. The Maaseh Nisim gives us an insight that we're really asking a question. And this is something probably that that is in the back of all of our minds. Whenever we thank Hashem for saving us from something, there's always the question, but I would have preferred not to have to have gone through that in the first place, right? So, for example, we're going through now, the world is going through a crisis. So, Emet Hashem, eventually we'll come out of this. So, we'll thank Hashem for coming out of this intact, hopefully. So, but why do we have to go through it in the first place? Or going back to the Seder. We're thanking Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim. But we have to ask ourselves, why was it necessary for us to go into Mitzrayim in the first place? And now, why do we have to thank Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim if He's the one who put us into Mitzrayim in the first place? We didn't ask to go to Mitzrayim. So whenever we ask this question, you have to make sure that the answer is better than the question. Right? You don't want to ask a question that you can't answer. But it's important for us to get to the bottom and to internalize this concept that everything that we have to go through in life is ultimately for our good. And the earlier we learn this, the better. That everything we have to go through, even if it looks like it's bad, ultimately it's for the good. At the very least, we can become stronger from that. We become deeper. We become more sensitive. So we'll understand. We'll understand other people's tzaris better. The fact that we've experienced hardships in our own life, every challenge that we go through is an opportunity to grow. Every challenge we go through really could help us become better and better. So depending on how high we're striving, that's how much we have to grow. The reason the Gemara tells us that getting the Torah, getting Eretz Yisrael, and especially getting Olam Haba, are things that are nikna b'yisurin, it's gemara brachas. These are things that we have to go through hardships in order to get these things. When there's no pain, there's no gain. In order to get the Torah, in order to get Eretz Yisrael, in order to get Olam Haba, we have to go through hardships in order to strive and struggle and purify ourselves. So the fact that we had to go through a Mitzrayim in order to be purified, the Chazal call it like a crucible. It was like a kiln, like a furnace, that we had to go through this to become hardened and be able to improve and become roy, to become deserving of getting the Torah and getting Eretz Israel and becoming the Jewish people and having such an opportunity to get Olam Haba. That shows how precious these gifts are. So the reason why we start off that our ancestors worshipped the Avodah Zarah is to teach us, is to show us that we understand that we needed to go through some kind of purification process. And the earlier on that we can internalize this concept, the easier it would be to go through various hardships, that everything that's happening, it needed to happen. We have an opportunity to grow and to become better people from that. And that's why the Haggadah insists on dragging us through, that we originally needed work, we originally were lacking, we were Oivdei Avodah Zarah, we worshipped idols, and even Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov, who themselves, their perfection was beyond our comprehension, but they needed to be purified. Even Yaakov Avinu had to go down to Mitzrayim, and he had to taste a little bit of the exile of Mitzrayim. The bondage didn't start until afterwards, but he had to be exiled from Eretz Yisrael. And the Jewish people, we had to be purified in order to be worthy of getting the Torah and getting the Eretz Yisrael and getting Olam Haba. I want to share another idea that is partly from the Maaseh Nissim and an idea that my Rosh Yeshiva, that he should live and be well, that he always used to tell us back in the day when we were in yeshiva. So the Haggadah goes on to say, Baruch Shoymer Haftachasei LeYisrael, Baruch Hashem, that he keeps his promise to the Jewish people. And then the Haggadah goes on to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chishiv Esaketz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu calculates when the exile will be over, right? He calculates it. So what's the message in the fact that Hashem calculates when the redemption comes? So the Maaseh Nissim says a beautiful idea. He gives another parable. He says, imagine if you promise something to someone, I'll help you out. I'll help you out financially, I'll help you out getting you this position or helping you through this certain hardship. So if the person's a regular person where he doesn't have unlimited resources, so if I make such a commitment to someone, so I'm going to be thinking about it and planning, how am I going to fulfill my promise from day one? Even if I have a year to fulfill the promise, I'm going to be thinking about it and planning about it. If I'm a responsible person, I'm not going to wake up the last minute and figure out, how am I going to fulfill my promise? I'm going to be working on it day to day. But imagine if you have a powerful king who has the resources of the entire country at his disposal. He has the entire apparatus of the country at his disposal. If he makes a promise, he wants to pardon someone or whatever it is. So he doesn't have to think about it because he has unlimited power and he can perform that anytime. He'll wake up the last day. He wants to pardon the person. He wants to take the person out of jail. He wants to give the person some kind of stimulus check, whatever it is. So he doesn't have to be thinking about it for years and years. When it's time to do it, he'll go ahead and do it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the King of Kings, all-powerful, he doesn't have to calculate when the exile is over, when to take us out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kavyachol, so to speak, could wake up the last minute and take us out when it's time to take us out. Why is it necessary for Hashem to keep in mind constantly thinking about when he's going to take us out? Why is it necessary for Hashem to be thinking about it and planning it? It's not, he has all the power in the world. Says the Maaseh Nissim, because it's a demonstration of Hashem's love for the Jewish people. He's keeping our suffering in mind. He doesn't have to keep it in mind in order to plan it. He can make it happen in an instant. He's keeping it in mind because he wants to show us how much he loves us, how much we're always on his mind. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chishiv Esaketz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly thinking about, when can I redeem them? When can I redeem them? Not because he needs to plan, but because Hashem is yearning, so to speak, to take us out of Golus and to bring us back to Eretz Israel to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So there's a Gemara in Brachas that says that. The Gemara in Brachas says that there was once a story of one of the rabbis of the Talmud. He went into a churba. He went into a desolate place. He was traveling. He went to Davin. And then he met Eliyahu HaNavi. And Eliyahu HaNavi says that Hashem is waiting for the Kaddish, the Yeheshmei Rabba, that the Jewish people say. And Hashem is saying to himself, when can I bring them back, that I can hear it in the Beis HaMikdash in its proper glory? That's what Hashem is thinking about the entire time. And that shows the connection. That keeps the connection. We go ahead and say, V'hi sha'amda la'voseinu v'lanu, that this is what keeps us going. It's referring to the fact that Hashem always has us in mind. How were the Jewish people as a nation able to survive time after time through the entire thousands of years of exile? Because Hashem keeps us in mind. That connection is active. That connection is alive. Hashem is constantly keeping us in mind. And that shows his love towards us. My Rosh Yeshiva always used to say, he used to say this in his shmuz, in his talk before Rosh Hashanah, that we talk about in the Shmona Esrei, Zichronos, that Hashem remembers us. We remember him and Hashem remembers us. He always used to give a parable. Imagine if a tremendous tzaddik, the Chafetz Chaim, imagine if you would know that he has you in mind. You know how much blessing that would give, how much blessing that would bring? The fact that the Chafetz Chaim, the great tzaddik, the Gadol Hador, has you in mind. So imagine, al achas kama v'kama, certainly Hashem constantly has us in mind, how much blessing and how much sustenance and how much hashpa, how much influence that gives us. So we're going into Pesach in unusual circumstances. We're celebrating the Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's as relevant today as it ever was, because Hashem is there for us. Hashem has us in mind. Hashem is planning our future redemption, and we should all be zeicha to keep the health, and we should have hatzlacha, success, and we should have parnasa, and we should have everything good. Looking forward to interacting again and learning together again, personally, in person, physically, and we should be zeicha to learn the lessons and internalize the lessons of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that the miracles, we can take the miracles that we talk about and see Hashem in our everyday life, and to appreciate the fact that Hashem committed himself to us for forever and ever. We should all be zeicha to a Chag Kasher v'Sameach, a beautiful Pesach, and we should be zeicha taka l'shana haba b'Yerushalayim. We should be zeicha that next year we're all together in Yerushalayim. Yashikoyach, everybody. Shkoyach, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Shkoyach.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Shkoyach. Amen. Thank you. You too. Thank you. Yashikoyach.
Stimulating people to cater like this.